your mom and dad. Your mom and dad. Your mom and dad. Your mom and dad.
Well, welcome home, family. It's your mom and dad. You didn't say it with me.
I swear, I had the biggest brain melt moment right at the top of the show.
I was looking directly into your
eyes.
That's
a first.
You've abandoned me officially on this podcast.
I swear this just happened.
This is, you guys, your father has officially left us. He's abandoned us. You were just staring into an abyss.
Which is just the most me thing ever, by the way. But I literally, right as we were going, my brain thought of something that I don't even remember what it was. Like, I needed to do or something. And I completely I wasn't even here. For those 3 seconds, I was not even in the room at the beginning of the show. That's how crazy my brain can get, that I can disassociate, like, in the middle of a podcast.
Like, the cameras
like
are
that.
Rolling. The lights
Everything's
are
totally going.
Blasting.
And I just go... What, did
the music
I forget
is pumping.
To do that thing? And that's how far out I went.
You know, I don't know if the family knows this about you.
Yeah.
You are such an incredible husband. You really are.
Warm me up. So
Let
you
me
can
butter you up.
Yeah, butter me
no,
up.
No, but it's
take
true.
Me down.
You're such an amazing husband. We always talk about how much we are like chatting constantly, which is true. But yeah. I think something I don't know if we've ever shared mm-hmm. is that Evan is more than anyone, and all of our like dear friends know this too, yeah. because they know when they're talking to Evan that this likely is happening.
Yeah.
I would say maybe 20% of the time, which is a good amount of time.
It's a solid amount of time.
20%, I'm not exaggerating.
I don't even know what 20% you're going to attribute to. We'll see.
Is that I'll be talking to Evan, and when I say he's not there, like he is not there.
Yeah.
Like I will look at Evan and I will share a story that lasts. No exaggeration, maybe like a 10 to 12 minute story.
Yeah, that's a long story. Gonna be honest with you, that's a long story. Okay, so I think we're already identifying a little bit of the problem. I'm definitely the lion's share. But if you say a 12 minute story, can you all get on my team here? Like, that's a long ass story. Okay, so anyway, continue. That's a long story. Story should be 1 minute to 2 minutes long, max. 12?
A 1 minute long story is way too short. You need
minutes?
You need to let me embellish, add my little ring-a-ding-dings onto it, yeah. my impersonations.
Yeah, I get, it's like we went to the store, and then I get like a history of the store.
When I tell
and kind
you
of how
a story, I need to be able to have the theater of it behind
okay.
the story.
Right. You know what? I'm deflecting.
But
That's
you,
wrong.
I mean, when I say he's not there,
yeah.
he's not there.
Yeah.
Like, I'm saying didn't hear one single word. And what you'll do is you
no,
will...
No, for 20%. You're saying not
no,
the
no,
full
No, I'm
12.
Saying 20% of our lives.
Oh, okay.
And you look and you nod.
Yeah.
And you're like, you're...
But you can tell the glaze.
Well, I know now. I've yeah. been with you 18 years. I can yeah. tell now. But it takes sometimes people a while to realize
yeah.
when you'll be nodding and going, uh-huh, uh-huh, uh-huh. And then you'll ask them a question that they just answered 10 yeah. minutes ago in their 10-minute long story.
Ooh, I've had,
and you are yeah. absolutely vacant. It's absolutely wild. But
I get
I've
nervous
said this.
Sometimes too, because it'll be like, well, she'll be all like on this whole thing. And then
halfway through,
I'll be like, oh shit, I don't remember the first chunk. And then, but there'll be like important information. And then I'll be like, gamble. I'll go like, so what did she say? And she goes, I told you. And I'm like, I shouldn't have said that. It's like a gamble. It's like,
but this is the benefit to it.
Yeah.
And I say this to all of our friends, and actually Instagram Free Aunt Katie loves this about you because yeah. we love to retell you tales about ourselves. The beautiful
like
thing about Evan.
Grandpa.
No, the beautiful
like,
thing about Evan.
I get to meet you every day. Who are you? I'm Jessica, your wife. Oh, cool. Since when?
The amount of stories that I get to tell you over again that you actually have never heard. It's incredible. I'll tell you this great story and you'll hear it. And then maybe like a month later, I'll be like, so Evan, there was this one time, and you'll yeah. be like, wait, what? And I get such an Instagram for Aunt Katie.
My life
the same
is like
way.
3 months old.
Yeah, that's true.
But it's a magical thing because my life started 3 months ago.
I know. It's really quite incredible. Anywho.
Listen, one thing I do want to say about that, though, is that you are very gracious. You could be more offended generally. You could be more angry. Like, I think most people would be frustrated at, like, you know, someone doing that. But you know, it's not personal. You know, it's just my brain does these things where they go out to out to the sea. And you're always very sweet about it, though. You generally just go like,
I'm telling you, fun for me. And maybe that's why we've had a relationship for 18 years that's gone so well.
Yeah.
Is that I like to talk and tell a story. So I get to tell them to you over and over again. True. And I still feel exciting. Even if nothing new has happened, I feel like something new has happened because I get to retell you the story.
Well, yeah, it is insane, though, like the feeling of it.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, you know, people talk about like, oh, I drove and I don't know how, like what happened. I just drove 5 miles.
Oh, that's so terrifying.
That happens to me all the time.
That's terrifying.
All the time. I'll just be driving and I'll just kind of like wake up from wherever I was daydreaming and I'm 20 minutes deep. And it's like,
oh, don't tell me that.
Like, I'm not asleep. Like, I'm paying attention. It's more like my mind is I'm on autopilot. My mind is thinking about the essentials, like turn, whatever, but not thinking about where's the off ramp or not thinking about like what time is that thing. And all of a sudden, I'll just come in. Like, it was worse when I was sometimes when I was younger. There would be times when I would drive 15 minutes past an exit I was supposed to get off of. And I'm just like, oh, I just added 30 minutes to my drive.
It truly is. The brain is a wonder because whenever I'm driving and I do that, even if it's just for a few moments, when I really think about that, it's so terrifying and also wild that like we can be doing that and be fully on autopilot and like we were safe.
Mm-hmm.
How?
Mm.
How? Anywho.
Scary.
Yeah. Terrifying.
But the brain is a magical thing. And thank you for all handling. Thank you.
What are you saying?
What I'm saying is this. Thank you for not starting the podcast over. You let me be me there for a minute. And you could have been like, hey, babe, can we start over? Like, you literally weren't even here.
But
that was sweet. You let me just kind of recover myself back in, I appreciate it.
I never have you start over. I love you for you. This is the family.
So I am who I am.
Floating off to sea.
Oof, happens a lot. Apologies, everyone. Well, good morning.
Okay, I did want to start the podcast off with, like, a word of encouragement
for
just everyone.
Okay.
Like, and I suppose it's not so much of a word of encouragement. It's more of like a, hey, you should try this.
Okay.
And I think life will be a little sweeter.
Okay.
And it was something that I learned this morning from our daughter, Ember. So this morning we were outside and she was running around, which she often does before school.
Yeah.
She likes to go outside and run around in the backyard and sing and play pretend, and I was out there with my tea. And as she's running around singing, all of a sudden she stops and she says, Mom, let's play a game right now. Raise your hand when I'm not doing something that a goat would do. And I thought, you know what?
No one's ever played that game ever. Right? Like, most kids would come up and be like, let's play a game. Tag. Let's play a game. Hide and seek. Let's play a game. You know, who first person to find the biggest bug wins. Not raise your hand when I'm doing something that a goat would not do. That is so deep and wild.
And I just thought, I paused and I said, you know what? If more people stopped and said, hey, let's play a game, raise your hand when I'm doing something a goat wouldn't do, life would be just a little bit sweeter.
Yes.
And we played that game and that game was fun because I'll just say this, you know, she got on all fours, she was grazing for a while.
Yeah, so just to double explain what this means is that she's acting like a goat.
Yeah.
You're sitting down.
And no, when, not I'm not sitting.
Okay, standing.
She demanded I stand and so, follow her around the backyard.
Right. Mm-hmm. So then as she's acting like a goat.
Yeah.
If she displays behavior that is unbecoming of a goat, like what would be something a goat wouldn't do?
There was only one thing she did.
Okay.
So she'd be on all fours grazing and then every once in a while she'd pop up and do like a crazy dance move.
A goat wouldn't do that. And then you didn't have to go, you didn't say, you raise your hand.
Yeah,
and
she'd be like, that's it. You got it.
I mean, dude, our daughter is wild.
And so I'm just saying to the family today, you know, I don't know where you are, if you're on your way to work, if you're with your kiddo right now, if you're sitting alone with a cup of tea yourself. I'm just saying something you could even play alone. You know, I'm going to act like a goat and then every once in a while not act like a goat. And that feels like it might spark a little bit of joy.
I couldn't agree more. And it's so weird and it's so out there that like just And that's the thing too, is as like adults, as we get older, we can really start to kind of judge, well, games have to qualify. Is it a good game?
Yeah.
But it's like whole point of being childlike is not to have it be all prepped and precision. And it's just like silly fun.
Listen, the thing about our daughter, which is so inspiring to me always, is that she does not play by any set of rules except her own. And there are no like, you know, oh, I have to specifically do this. It's like, hey, I'm going to tell a joke. I'm going to say, why did the chicken cross the road? And then you're going to say why. And she's going to say, well, because the chicken was super worried that her daughter was going to get out of school early. So she had to run across the street to make sure that her daughter didn't get out of school early and wasn't waiting for her alone. So then when she went to the other side, she was there with her daughter and then they went to dinner.
Right.
And I'm like, you know, you might say that's not a joke, but
who's to say what a joke is?
That's what I'm saying. Who's to say?
The only thing that makes a joke is that you say something in a different way.
Yeah. And so she asked it in a joke-like
general
form.
Stories about life might be funny to her.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. It's like, you know what? You don't have to play by the rules, everybody.
I like this.
You play whatever game you want to play. Play raise your hand if I'm doing something a goat wouldn't do.
Yeah.
Say, I got a joke for you. And then just, you know, finish it off with just a kind of straightforward story response. I'm just saying, just be yourself. Play by your own rules.
Let's say you're stressed. Let's say that you get a text from your boss that rattles you.
Yeah.
Let's say that you and your partner are fighting. Let's say all these things and you're just not feeling it. Mm-hmm. Remind yourself, play the goat game. Get on all fours. Graze, buck, headbutt.
Let out your inner goat.
Let your goat out. Eat some trash. And then randomly, you know, take a phone call, because that's not what goats would do. And then you'll get out of your head. You'll realize life is stupid and fun and silly and amazing and everything at once.
What is this body even, you know?
And that when you look at the whole span of your life, that text or that fight is not going to mean anything. Mm-hmm. And that, you know, you're going to remember the goat game, though.
Yeah, just try the goat game.
Try the goat game.
I just figured that's a good way to really start the rest of this week off.
Beautiful.
So thank you to Ember, my inspiration. Anywho, we'd probably need to take a quick pause before we officially get into talking about The Traitors, which we enjoyed so much.
So good. The show is insane. It's so good.
And I have to tell you, I had watched these episodes that we watched with Ember separately because she's such a fan. And she was like, I need to watch the episodes before. I know that Daddy is busy, but like, can we watch?
Yeah, yes.
So then I rewatched these three episodes with Evan. And it just brought me so much joy because your jaw was on the floor, shock and awe the whole time.
It's such a good show.
I love watching you be thrilled with a reality TV show.
Because I'm generally not like a... it's hard to surprise me. It's hard to get my blood going.
Yeah, and your blood was pumping.
My blood was going.
Your blood was pumping.
I was feeling the suspense. I would love to play this.
I know, right?
It's like the first time in a long time I've ever thought I'd like to be on this reality
TV
show.
I'm like super, super jealous watching everybody. Yes. Like very jealous. It's
really good.
Now, I don't want to be a part of the missions because that feels like physical activity, but the round tables, et cetera, I would love. And the fashion, obviously.
Yes.
Okay, but quick pause, family. Let's be honest. If I were to ever get invited onto The Traitors, like we said, one can dream, right? I'll be calling up Pilot Pete for tips because he's got those reality TV tips. He's got so many tips. We'll talk about Pilot Pete. But family, I have some parenting and caretaking tips for you. Pilot Pete has the reality TV tips. I got the parenting tips. And it involves vitamins for the kiddos. I'm not sure about your experience, but when it comes to a kid's daily multivitamin in our house, my child either thinks it's disgusting, it tastes gross, or it's quote unquote, a vitamin that's not made out of good stuff. It's practically just candy. That is why my tip is try Hiya's Essential Kid Vitamins. It's what we started doing a few months ago. And since then, Ember literally wakes up and asks to take these vitamins. It is a parent win. Blessings. Thank you, Hiya.
Yes. Like Jess mentioned, typical children's vitamins are basically candy in disguise, filled with 2 teaspoons of sugar, unhealthy chemicals, and other junk. That's why Hiya was created. The pediatrician approved super powered chewable vitamin. Hiya is made with zero sugar and zero gummy junk, yet it tastes great and is perfect for picky eaters. Formulated with the help of nutritional experts, Hiya is pressed with a blend of 12 organic fruits and veggies, then supercharged with 15 essential vitamins and minerals to help support immunity, energy, brain function, mood, concentration, teeth, bones, and more.
And it's non-GMO, vegan, dairy-free, allergy-free, gelatin-free, nut-free, and everything else you can imagine. Hiya is designed for kids 2 and up and sent straight to your door so parents have one less thing to worry about. You get this cool bottle too with your first order, and then they send you eco-friendly refills every month. And oh my gosh, Hiya is just the coolest. They think of absolutely everything. They send stickers to decorate the bottle with that first bottle. And Ember was obsessed. She loved being able to personalize her own bottle of vitamins. I felt like it made her more excited to even just take the vitamins in general because it was her own personalized thing now. And by the way, I also recommend checking out their new kids probiotic and nighttime essentials. We've worked out a special deal with Hiya for their best-selling children's vitamin. Receive 50% off your first order. To claim this deal, you must go to hiyahealth.com/momanddad. This deal is not available on their regular website. Go to hiyahealth.com/momanddad. That's mom, A-N-D, dad. And get your kids the full body nourishment they need to grow into healthy adults. Okay, today we are going over episodes 5, 6, and 7 of Traitor Season 2. We were going to go over 3 or 4 episodes, but we decided to do 3 now because when we were doing the numbers, we realized just like with the chunks, we want to be able to do our final, the finale and reunion in one episode.
Yeah.
So our next Traitors episode, we're also going to do cover 3 episodes. And then the final one, we get to do the
final 2.
Just to do the finale and reunion together. Yep. I feel like that's fun.
Love it.
I like that energy.
And we love that.
That was just our call. So today we're doing 5, 6, and 7. And right out the gate, the first thing that I need to say is that Pilot Pete, he's a genius.
He's a genius.
Pilot Pete is a literal genius.
Yeah, because he's not.
Find the IQ scores. The man is the, he has become the king of traitors. Like, we all know that it takes just some mental trapeze to be on The Bachelor and Bachelorette.
Yes.
And this just truly proves it.
It proves it more than even in a simple way. What is also the most impressive thing to me is that he included a bunch of people as opposed to like Dan was being very good about being like the selfish player that was just like coming, figuring out a way to survive.
Right.
But he goes, I'm going to assume all these people aren't traitors. I'm going to nail who is a traitor.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then I'm going to get a whole bunch of people to join my team. And then have amazing strategy. Like, that's crazy.
Peter, he is like practically the Jesus of the traitors.
It's incredible.
He has his followers. And then also at one point, sorry, skipping ahead, but when he is then offered, literally offered a position to become a traitor, he's like, I'm a forever faithful.
And
like, chaotic good.
Yeah, kind of like, wait a second, are you a vigilante? Because there's also...
Like, is he Spider-Man? Is he a superhero in a bachelor disguise?
Well, and he has what every great cult leader slash, you know, vigilante has, which is an obsessed fan who will do whatever they want.
Are you talking about Burgalicious?
I'm talking about Burgalicious.
Burgalicious
has hard eyes, and he runs around following Peter, being like, did you like what I did there? Did you like me? Did you like what I wore today? Like, he has, like, he's got a little fanboy, and every good, like, leader needs a little fanboy that's just like, you know, whatever you want.
Burgalicious is, like, simultaneously his little brother, his biggest fan, his assistant. Burgalish is truly the right-hand man.
Yes.
He is, like, the LeFou, is it LeFou to his Gaston, even though they're, I guess they're good players in this game.
Yeah.
But
Batman, but Robin to his Batman.
That's probably a more relevant one.
Yeah, you're like going deep into like doing Disney lore. Yeah.
But what I'm saying is that also jet setting Jack, AKA Pilot Pete's actual brother, needs to watch his back. Because Burgalicious is going to slip into the Weber family like that.
Yes.
Like, I'm sure. Now, I haven't done any looking up a research of any of the players since we started the traders, because I feel like if I look it up because it's done, it's going to ruin something and I'm going to find out something. But I just know in my bones that Bergalish has become 100% a part of the Weber family. Like, he is adopted by them. He now does all the holidays, the Christmases, all of this with the Webers.
Yes.
Like, and Jet Sitting Jack is like being kicked to the curb.
See, I disagree. I disagree entirely.
What?
Because I think what's going to happen is after the show, Bergalish is going to be like, dude, can I? And he just doesn't even respond.
How dare you think that about Pilot Pete?
Yes. I think that's just the reality. You know what I mean? Every cult leader uses their people to create the reality. And then the second it's over, they're like left in some island being like, wait, where are you? And the guy's like, oh, I flew to New York. Like,
I have bigger hopes.
I don't think
Pete
doesn't love hanging with Bergie. He loves that Bergie worships him. That's the reality. I'm sorry to break it to you. But
you're breaking Bergie's heart as you speak.
Bergie texts and they're like, sorry, this number is no longer connected. Like, it's, you know, Peter is sending him fake, you know, when you email and then they're like, sorry, I'm out of the office. Peter is sending him auto replies on his text messages that say, sorry, I'm no longer available. This number has been disconnected. Please do not contact me anymore at this number.
You know what? Even if Peter is no longer speaking to Bergalish, I feel like what Peter gave Bergalish was truly a gift because you see the confidence rising in Bergie. Like when he
confidence rises. Sorry.
Is that a line that Bane actually says?
He says, something rises. Yeah, I don't remember what it was, but anyway. Something rises.
Well, I think that it has really helped Bergie's confidence because you see Bergie, who at first was beat red when asked one question at the very top of this game, to now being so vocal during the roundtables, saying, like, telling Dan to his face, like, yeah, I'm going to vote for you.
Yeah.
And then when Bergie doesn't actually get offed when they think they offed him, the traitors, and he walks in like a damn king. Bergie, I feel like, has a new lease on life, and I feel like Bergie is probably out there absolutely slaying the game. Yes. And so even if Pilot Pete no longer speaks to Bergie, I feel like it has given Bergie positive.
Yeah, it's kind of like you walk away from the experience with what it gave you, which was just a new lease on life and a kind of a new confidence that he didn't have before. He got some wins through Peter. Before that, he was always like, I don't know. Everyone's like, yeah, Bergie, you know, Bergie could never be a traitor because he's so bumbling fool. And it's like, you know, he goes, no. I got this power now through my leader, Pete.
But also remember the graveyard mission. Bergie crushed.
Yes.
So he is now, Pilot Pete has essentially given Bergie the confidence that he should be having.
Yes.
He's really inspired that for Bergie. So I do feel like I would be interested to see Bergie come back for Traitor Season 3 without Pilot Pete. And see how he does alone. I feel like he would attempt to play a Peter role and it would just come crashing down.
couldn't agree more. I think Bergie just has to remember that, you know, you're in the pocket. Don't get too big for your britches. He's going to start, like, if Pete gets let go, it's going to be, I got this, and I'm in control now. And then all of a sudden, Bergie's going to get humbled, and it's like, no, what you're good at.
What if episode 8 Bergie just becomes like an absolute tyrant? Like, he just becomes the most aggressive.
He wants to get rid of his leader. You know what I mean? So he'll all of a sudden become like, we got to get Pete out of here because he's actually taking my shine.
I didn't even think about the fact that what if Bergie turns on
Peter? Exactly. Because, you know, these things, you know, the Padawans get a little big. I mean, look at Darth Vader. The whole story is about Darth Vader, you know, getting a little too big for his britches.
Love a Star Wars reference.
So, anyway.
I do think that it would have been an interesting move if Parvati and Phaedra would have requested Bergie to become a traitor. I don't know if he would have been able to pull it off. I feel like he might have just walked into breakfast the next morning and been like, I'm a traitor, guys. Just put it all out there. But I do think if they would have gotten someone else on the inside, not Peter, I don't know, something to consider.
I like it.
But all in all, Peter is so incredible in this game. Like, I couldn't even believe it. The game, when he came up with that game, we'll talk about with like the bird during the bird calling situation to figure out who the traitors are. His instincts right off the gate, like, he was like, it's Parvati and Dan, at least I know this.
Yeah.
And he's right.
Yeah, that was weird. I mean, I get it. It's kind of like, from our perspective, it can feel a little obvious, but like, when you're in it and no one else can get it, And then he's nailing it. He's got some perception abilities that are pretty incredible.
I'm telling you, it just, it's a window into the power of what it takes to be on The Bachelor or The Bachelorette.
Yeah, you're
there's a
right.
psychological piece there that they become so strong through. Mm-hmm. I have to believe it.
I completely agree.
You know what I mean? Because they were even saying there was a moment when Parvati was like, you know, something about how Peter's used to getting wooed by all these women, but like, yeah. we can't woo him.
Yeah.
He was like unbreakable.
Right.
You know, and it's like, you wonder if it's, he's built that endurance because of Bachelor producers. Let's be real. Where he's like, you're not going to fool me. You're not going to pull over any trickery on me. I've gone through the deepest, darkest hell of trickery.
I will say dating 30 people at once.
Yeah.
is a mind game that is
absolutely
probably extremely brutal.
Yeah.
And so when you know what I mean? So then kind of trying to find out who's lying is a lot easier than like, you know, trying to emotionally connect to 30 people and figure out who's there for the right reasons and who's a good person. And like all that emotional trauma absolutely prepares you for something like this.
I'm just I've just been tickled by it because I knew from the gate, like we could see that he was a decent player, but just see him like rise and become the king, the Jesus of the traitors. I almost feel like I don't know Peter, but I felt like proud watching, like as a bachelor connoisseur. I was
kind of like we churned out some real winners.
Look what we made.
Yeah, right. That's true. A bit of our creation. Yeah,
it's all because of us, Peter. Now, I will tell you this. Speaking of our daughter earlier, our daughter, Peter, I'm so sorry. Please don't take this personally. Our daughter can't stand Peter.
What do you think that is?
She has like a vitriol response to him, and she wants nothing more than for Peter to get cut. Because Ember is like a fangirl of Phaedra and Parvati. So the moment that Peter was like, Parvati, Ember was like, get him out now.
Yeah.
So the moment that she saw Peter talking to Parvati, and then even when then Trishel was like, I think it may be Phaedra, Ember was like, oh hell no. And she literally like woke up the other day after we watched this and she was like, that Peter's gotta go. Like, oh my God.
Yeah. And I think she's also really our child because we love the bad guys in movies. It's so fun to watch the bad, because you know the bad guy's gonna lose.
Yeah.
Every time, but you kind of wish they get away with it. You know, you wish that like the bad guy in the Marvel movie, the bad guy in the Batman movie, you're always kind of like, ooh, I wish they could kind of get away with it because they're so fun and interesting. And I think she kind of has that same thing, which is like, ooh, the traitors are fun and conniving and interesting.
I fancy to think it's because, you know, we do love an actor. Uh-huh. And I feel like when you watch any movie, the really fun role is
it's
the
never
villain.
The good guy. The good guys are always the most boring.
When I did theater, it was always like, please give me the villain role. The villain role you can play with, it's so much fun.
Yes.
And so I think for Ember, you know, as she is such a fan of acting, that she is like, the idea of playing a traitor and having to like put on a ruse is so exciting. But she also is just like obsessed with Parvati and Phaedra. Yeah. From the get, she's like their biggest fans. I think if she saw them IRL, she would absolutely lose it. So any threat to the two of them, she's neither here nor there about Dan. Any threat to Parvati or Phaedra, Ember, like, she's out for blood, Peter. I'm just telling you this.
You better watch yourself.
If we were to run into Pilot Pete in person, I don't know how well it would go over. She is not a fan. She is not a fan.
She's not.
But anywho, okay.
Let's get into this.
So we left off starting then episode 5. Phaedra is very upset with Parvati for throwing the housewife name under the bus. And this is where we're seeing the cracks begin in the traitor's turret.
Yes.
As this is going back and forth and they're forgiving each other, Dan is encouraging them kind of from behind the scenes, saying, how can I use this to my advantage?
Which is, because he's always saying that.
Which
is a good reality TV player. Is someone who says, like, no matter what happens, I might be able to use this.
But I also wonder, too, with Dan, because he was the ultimate singular traitor player. Like, he from the get was like, I got to get rid of my other traitors eventually. Yeah. If that was to his demise a bit.
Maybe.
I think maybe he's used to, I don't know the ins and outs of Big Brother, but maybe it's more singular that he's used to that type of play instead of working in a group, really working in a group until it's the final.
Right, right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, 100%, 100%. It's really interesting. I'm going to jump ahead just here for a second. I just kind of thought about this and I don't want to forget it, which is Dan was always accused of not talking about anyone, not bringing up options. Mm-hmm. But was Phaedra bringing up options?
This is what I think the difference is.
I'm kind of going, Phaedra was playing it even lower than Dan was. But I guess when you're just likable, like Phaedra just must be very likable to the group, to the crew, to where they just don't even consider her. Where Dan, I think there's also this thing too, as if you're famous for winning the game, for winning games, people are very sus of you.
Of course. But of course, because they know you're a player. But here's the thing. This is my most favorite moments are when people are getting murdered and at breakfast, Phaedra's just like, can you please pass the bacon? Like, oh,
boiled
this is
egg.
Hard to
She's like, boiled egg. And I'm kind of like, wouldn't that be a red flag? It'd be a red flag to me if someone's like, everyone in the room is freaking out and this one person going, you pass me the boiled egg. I'd be like, that person's way too chill. They're definitely.
But like, I think Phaedra is such a character that it's like, it's so likable that you just brush it off. You're like, oh, Phaedra's a character.
She's a character, and she doesn't really care about anything. That's kind of the energy.
No, she's
just
playing
like, whatever.
It up, and we all see she plays it up for the camera. Yeah,
what will we do?
She's like, I'm out for blood now.
I'm ready for her to just look at the camera and be like, and that. Like, she needs a tagline.
Phaedra already has taglines. She's given us Burgalicious, and she's given us Peter's Pals. She started calling Peter's Pals. Phaedra, she's just branding. But here's the difference, I think. I think Dan, in general, from what I'm getting, is quiet.
Yeah.
So it seems like he hasn't really developed friendships, and he hasn't been chit-chatting with the group. Because they mentioned at one round table where they're like, hey, you never talk game.
Yeah.
But Phaedra does.
Yeah.
Phaedra is,
out hanging out.
She's besties
a good time
with everybody. Yeah. She's having her moments with everyone. And then she's also in the conversations when they are talking game, and she'll go, oh, yeah. Yeah, 100% do that.
Yeah.
Do
she goes,
that.
She always goes, yeah.
So she's like hype womaning. Okay. Hype womaning up certain people.
Yeah.
Where it feels like a team, and Dan feels like a lone
wolf.
He's
always sus. He's always just kind of like not doing anything. Okay,
you
I
always
got
see
it.
Him wandering around the castle alone.
Yeah.
Sexy.
It is sexy.
It's very sexy.
It's
I don't
good
find
for
Dan
reality
specifically sexy, but wandering around a castle alone, sexy.
It is sexy to wander around a castle. You would absolutely, if we visited a castle, you would absolutely walk around it alone, just like imagining how sexy it is.
Oh, babes, I would have a faux fur on that was touching the floor, and I would be wandering that castle alone day and night.
You'd be calling for people that don't exist.
Listen, I'd have one of those little bowls that you keep a candle in and wander around.
Yeah, like, babe, it's like just very, like, I just walk in and flick the light on, and you'd be like,
oh, God.
What is this technology from the future? All right.
I'm just saying, it's something to think about when you are playing this game. Like, play it sexy. And
play
wandering
sexy
around the castle, if you're going to get kicked out, okay, wander around the castle alone, play it sexy for the viewers.
Phaedra, Dan, play it sexy.
Yeah, and you know, Parvati plays it sexy too.
Parvati
She's always
does
like,
too. She's always like this.
Just her, like, face.
She pouts.
Yeah.
Peter is just playing it like flag football. It's very cut and dry, not sexy at all, just very straightforward.
No,
but
you know what he's
effective.
Giving? But he's giving us superhero.
Yeah,
because superhero.
Superheroes are never sexy.
Minus Batman. Batman plays it sexy,
but he's kind of like a kind of a superhero and kind of not. You know, you kind
true.
Of like, it's but like, a, yeah, like Superman, not sexy. Just like, don't do that bad thing, Mr. Bad Guy. You know what I mean? Like, that's a little. Peter's giving a little more Superman energy.
Yeah, and Spider-Man is very much more like
tortured soul.
Spider-Man?
Oh, Spider-Man isn't. No, no, no. Sorry.
No, Spider-Man, I don't feel like gives off sexy.
Exactly. Nerdy.
Either.
Nerdy. Yeah. Okay. All right.
So I feel like we're really getting what we deserve.
That's true.
In this season.
True.
I think that's why it's so good. Anyway, let's take another quick pause before we dive more into this. Oh, it's just so good. Okay. Family. You know, obviously, I love my Phaedra. I love my Parvati. I love the Peter of it all. But my favorite character in this show is Alan Cummings' dog, Lala. I love Lala. She's gorge. you know, it makes me love Alan even more, somehow even more, just knowing that he needed his pup by his side during filming, because you know we are dog people, okay? Mm-hmm. We get starstruck by dogs. We've talked about this before, and we adore our pups so much. Ashley and Arthur, they are our loves. And it's amazing that dogs know everything about us. Like Ashley and Arthur both, when I'm not feeling well, they immediately puppy pile on me. They'll cuddle up for hours. Well, if they know about us, shouldn't I know everything about them? That is why we are so excited to be partnering up with Embark. We love Embark. We actually used Embark to find out more about Ashley right after we adopted her. And now we just sent in our Embark breed and health test for Arthur to find out more about him. We're so excited. We'd like to thank EmbarkVet.com for supporting your mom and dad. Go to EmbarkVet.com to get free shipping and save $50 on the breed plus health test with promo code MOMDAD. I'm telling you all the joy that an Embark dog DNA test can give you or a loved one by strengthening your bond with your dog and getting to know them better is amazing. It made us get to know Ashley better, and I just love it so much.
Yes, that's so, so cute.
Our babies.
Yes. And Embark's dog DNA test allows you to do just that. Pup parents can learn more about their dog with the most accurate dog DNA test on the market, such as their dog's breed mix, their genetic health risks. It screens for more than 250 plus, and you can find and connect with other dogs who share your dog's DNA with the world's first canine relative finder. That's awesome.
I'm absolutely obsessed with that. Like, find us the relatives. Yes. Like, that is so emotional. Like, yes. That makes me want to cry. Okay. Like I said, we used the Embark breed and health test for Ashley after we adopted her, and it was amazing. We found out that she is almost 40% Chihuahua, and then coming in next is Poodle, and then Miniature Pinscher. Mm. Like, look at our baby. Look at our baby. It was so exciting to get to know her more since we rescued her and didn't know her from birth. And also, the health portion of the test was so important. It showed us some potential health risks that she may have. So we were able to take those to the vet and address everything. We're so grateful for Embark, and we cannot wait to report back and let you all know about more about Arthur soon as we get his DNA test back. People are always asking what breed he is, and we have no idea.
No idea.
So we can't wait to find out. And it's so easy with Embark too. You swab, you send back, boom, results. Get the dog DNA test that is trusted by millions. Right now, Embark has a limited time offer on their breed and health test for our listeners. Go to EmbarkVet.com to get free shipping and save $50 with promo code MOMDAD. Visit EmbarkVet.com and use promo code MOMDAD to save $50 today. Find out more about your babies.
I can't wait. I'm so excited.
I'm so excited. Okay, so getting back into this, the traitors end up choosing Phaedra to murder, which I feel like was a good call for Phaedra because Tamara is a housewife. Mm-hmm. And so it does put the heat off of Phaedra a little bit post the Parvati conversation.
Yeah. And you know, she's not like a major player. She was just kind of hanging, having a good time. Yeah, so it was just, it was just an easy kind of like,
but I will say, you know, Tamara can really,
like, I love Tamara,
but Tamara can really get into it. So it could have gotten spicy with Tamara. Yeah. So it actually might be better for the traitors ultimately. So then when they're at breakfast the next morning and they find out that Tamara is gone, that's when we hear Peter saying, he's like, there's gotta be a guy among the traitors. I think it's Dan. And he then says that he suspects CT Parvati and Dan. Okay.
Yes.
And Dan is just, he's just not giving anybody anything at this point. Yeah. And that's where Dan, I feel like, is really starting. He's obviously a tremendous game player, but that's like, I feel like, the one little nugget that's missing.
Yeah. You would have thought by now he would have kind of started to throw some names out.
I know.
Just to kind of do, like, just copy someone. Like, literally just go, okay, what is, you know, what is this? What is Janelle doing? Okay, just like literally call out the same people, like whatever, just like pick.
Well, he does that last kinda, minute at the round table.
He always
table.
Does the round table, but it's like, by then it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter.
And then he calls out the same people who call him. It's like he needs to just kind of pick a couple positions that are kind of harmless and easy, call it a day.
But Janelle says that he plays possum every time on Big Brother.
Which is, right.
So he always plays like dead frozen and then at the very end swoops in and takes everything. But we even heard Dan say, he's like, I've done these seasons of Big Brother and it's not even close to as hard as Traitors is.
Yeah, makes sense.
So, okay, they have then their bird call mission, which obviously I loved.
That was very funny, actually.
I was just thinking, I was like, you guys.
Yeah, you would kill it. We get it. You'd be like, oh, God!
The the crow mother.
Yeah, that's true. Not only, you know your kids.
Not only would I show up for the birds, I would show out for the birds. Like, I would go so hardcore in the fashion for the
bird.
You
would have showed up in a bird costume energy. Well, a full
crow mother costume.
Yeah.
Like, my Everyone's wardrobe like, stylist.
Why is she talking about mother of the crows? Like, I don't know, kind of like... A while, like last summer, she just kind of made up that she was the crow mother, and so now she's like really into it. Everybody's like, "Oh, cool, that's cool." And then, like, but you're like, "Welcome to my game," and everybody's like, "Oh, god!" Like,
first of all, we don't know who this bitch is because she's not famous.
She's not on a show. I think she has like a podcast or something. Okay, cool, nice to meet you. And then she's like, "I'm the crow mother," but it's like, okay, this is
the only problem that I feel like I might run into is that any time that I'd have to do a bird call, the
it would
only
sound like a crow.
It would just be a caw.
Right. And they're like, it would just
come out as a caw.
And you just did that little impression and you liked it. And you were kind of like stoked on it. And you were hoping
because I thought it was pretty good.
Yeah, yeah. You did it kind of like.
I did it and I was like, wow.
Pretty good. Sounded good.
Pretty accurate.
But I loved this game. I thought this game was hilarious.
So much fun.
Because it's like, you know, just like normal person trying to make it and then they have to go find it. I thought it was a really creative game.
It was really weird. Bizarre,
but very fun.
So bizarre.
It was almost like they had those things laying around.
Yeah, they were like, how do we make a game out of this? Mansion, like so in weird. The manor castle. Yeah. Like, what are we gonna do with all of these stuffed birds?
Also, it's funny too because they tried to make the game like, oh, the birds are out there. You know what I mean? But clearly what was going on is they had matching ones and then the guy in the bushes pressed the button, made the sound, and they had to do it back to the other. You know what I'm saying? So they had to make it sound like, oh, there's bird, the different breed of bird is in each area of the woods. And when they call, the bird just magically does it. Like that was a little ridiculous. It's like, oh, they have 15 different types of bird within 80 feet of each other. It was like, okay, we get it. There's a guy in the bushes pressing the button.
Maybe it's a wildlife sanctuary out there, sure, Evan. Sure. You don't know where the castle is exactly located, is what I'm saying. But no, I loved that game. Everyone was making me laugh so hard. Yeah. Specifically, Bergie and Trishel, with what they were wearing and everything about them, also outdoing the bird calls.
Yeah.
They absolutely very much give me Land's End catalog energy. And I was like, these people... You could not find two people who look more like they birdwatch as a hobby.
Yes, 100%. And it's funny, those outfits too, like the colors difference completely changed the outfit. Because someone was like in blue and it just kind of looked like a little bit of a safari vibe. And then they're in red and yellow and it made them look like absolute nerds.
Absolute Land's End. They're out there with their birds.
Catalog.
From, what was it? Best in Show?
From Best in Show. The people with the braces. God, like that was them.
That was them. 100% them. But they end up crushing that game.
Yeah,
they really the are. They're in their element and they end up getting the shields. Now this is when Peter
comes
starts
up
to become the king of this show, when he says, Janelle, we need to come up with a strategy. Let's not tell anyone who gets the shields, and then I'm gonna plant something. So we find out that Trishel and Bergie get the shields, and then Peter, when Alan Cumming says, okay, you guys won the game, Who gets the shields? Janelle says, we don't care to say. So now the traitors are feeling nervous. They don't know who has the shields or not. And then Peter starts to plant rumors in who he suspects ears, CT, Parvati, and Dan, saying, Janelle and I got the shields.
Mm.
So he says, if they end up choosing someone who does have the shield, then we know it's got to be one of them because I'm planting things in their ears.
Yes.
True genius. Would have never thought of this ever.
No, it was like a deep concept.
It was a deep concept.
You know what I mean?
It deserved a full playboard. Like, it deserved markers all over boards and strings attached.
The fact that it worked was wild to me, and I have thoughts on why that was wild to me.
Yeah.
We can get into that in a second.
Sure, sure. But that was when I was like, damn. And then Peter, he's going and telling Dan, he's telling Parvati, he's telling CT. And then we get back to the mansion, and we hear that, you know, MJ ends up telling Dan that Janelle is gunning for him.
Right, but this is the issue.
Yes.
The issue is that Pete had this brilliant plan.
Brilliant.
Janelle got jealous, in my opinion, of the fact that he came up with the plan.
What?
Hear me out.
I think she got too excited about the plan.
She got too excited, but then also tried to kind of make it her. Like, she came back and she's like, we have a plan, guys. It's like, no, Pete came up with a plan.
Sure.
And then instead of just leaning back and letting Pete do the plan, she then starts going around telling everybody about the plan. And it's kind of like, well, hold on a second. What you're doing is you're not keeping this plan isolated in insular.
Yeah.
What you're doing is you're exposing too many people to the plan. Mm-hmm. The idea is that Pete is going to go around and tell the three people that they have it. So that what should have happened is that only Pete, Janelle, Bergie, and
Trishelle
should have known the plan. Four yeah. people. But then Janelle's going around telling MJ, telling everybody. So then all the people who aren't kind of in on the plan, you know, doing the plan, are then suspicious of, well, am I going to get caught up on this? And then they start going telling CT, start telling everybody. The whole thing falls apart, kind of, almost, because Janelle was way overexcited about telling everyone about
this. Janelle, I think, unfortunately, in this episode, really swung for the fences in certain ways that I think was the led to her demise, yes, ultimately.
100%.
Ultimately, because we end up then having the round table, which... We get a new player, by the way. Yeah. We get Kate, who's from Below Deck, who was on season one of Traitors. Mm-hmm. Now, I haven't watched season one of Traitors yet, which I will be watching mm-hmm. now, trust and believe.
Yeah.
But I'm getting the vibe she was a great player.
Okay.
She gives off the energy of yeah. a great player.
She's real calm.
She's calm, cool, and collected. Hilarious, by the way.
Yes. She's
killing me mm-hmm. with her ITMs. And even later on... In the last episode yeah. that we watched, episode 7, Parvati makes a comment about how she would be a good traitor, et yeah. cetera, et cetera. So she's a player, but we find out she's going to be a faithful. She gets her letter from Alan. So she's now in the round table. That's the big shock. But immediately, once the round table starts, Kevin comes for Janelle.
Mm-hmm.
Kevin's like, I know it's Janelle. And the second that he starts coming for her, Janelle is like, no, I know who the traitors are. It's Dan, CT, and Sandra. And that's yeah. when I looked at you and I go, oh no.
That was a wild
move.
You
gotta just do what you have to do one at a time.
Well, it was just such a crazy thing. Like everyone had agreed Dan, right?
Yes.
Like Pete was like, I'm pretty convinced that Dan and Parvati are in on it.
And then CT,
I can't decide who's yeah. the most, but I feel like Dan is. CT
he
was also, like,
he was thinking CT, but he even
said during this round, I'm almost 100% you're not, but you're on my watch list. So he made it clear right away throughout the whole episode, Dan was the guy we're going after. That's the almost 100% person. Mm-hmm. And then she throws out the other two. And yeah. I'm going, you know what you just did, right? They hate
made,
you now.
They made
so
you made
Sandra
enemies.
And CT hate you now and are going to yeah. come after you. So if this doesn't swing, like they're not going to go after Dan. They're going to go after you because made an enemy.
Janelle and Sandra started like Janelle was just like, you're the traitor, bitch. And I'm like, if you end up staying Janelle, now you fully like you Sandra's going to hate you.
Exactly. So I don't know what she was thinking. She got gone after Dan. It was her versus Dan. No one else liked Dan too. It was all going in at Dan. Now you put your, it was the crazy, like the only reason Dan survived that round.
Only reason
Dan survived that round is because Janelle got too excited
she
and started
fast and loose.
It was crazy.
It was wild to me because it really felt like it came out of nowhere. It was just too much like a shot out of a cannon. And immediately then you're like, well, now you're not going to have CT and Sandra voting in favor of Dan. They're going to vote against you, Janelle, because yes. you're now coming for them and they're yes. going to need to get you out because they're actually faithful. Surprise, surprise.
And then Dan perfectly brought up the whole like, well, you know, love you, but. The last three people who went home, you were a real pusher for, and they were wrong. So I don't know if we should believe anything she says. And everyone's kind of like, yeah, you're right.
And Dan's like, well, she was, she's my friend from Big Brother.
Oh, that was so good. And I think like, I've been blinded by our friendship. Was incredible.
And then they go back and forth for a second. And he then has a moment where he's annoyed and he turns and he does this eye roll where he like finally says something about her. And he's like, well, that's just why I think she's the traitor. And he does this eye roll that was... Emmy nominated?
Yeah, it was so good.
That was an Emmy nominated eye roll. Yeah. It was gorgeous. I was like, he might make mistakes in this game, but there are some moments where I'm like, damn, Dan. Damn, Daniel. You're crushing
yeah,
this
crushed
shit.
It. Crushed it. But I mean, we all knew he was going to go. Like, the heat was too hot.
It was too hot.
Unless something happened, he was able to pull something out like crazy.
But he suspended for a moment his demise. Because then Janelle ended up taking the heat. Yeah. Now, in this, Bergie was the one going, hey, Janelle creates a lot of chaos, and I think the traitors like that. That's why she's still here. So, of course, we have Bergie voting against Dan. But then we have, you know, Kevin, who's... coming for Janelle. Oh, and yeah, Kevin snapped fired at
the,
Kate.
The new, yeah, Kate, he was like, he just, I'm not finished. Listen? You listen for once in your life. And she's like, damn. Yeah, Kevin's like, getting real. Kevin's been rattled ever since someone said he's a beta male. He's been rattled. He's been pissed off. And if a woman cuts him off because a woman called him a beta, he's going to snap. You know what I mean? He's got a real like trigger.
Oh, yeah, and Larsa was just like, well, you're not.
You're like a little beta boy. And he's like, I'm not. I'm the strongest lion in the world. Yeah, it was like he's been rattled ever since.
I was like, come on, he Kevin, don't. I'm like, Kevin, don't. You're going to make enemies. You're going to make enemies.
Exactly.
And John actually thinks that Kevin's a traitor as well.
Yeah.
But obviously, we end up saying goodbye to Janelle. She gets voted out. We find out she's obviously not a traitor. And then we have the traitor's turret. And this is where I'm like, oh, no. Okay, Dan, by the way, away goes, so do you know anything? And doesn't put out the fact first that Peter talked to him, which I'm like, sneaky, sneaky Dan. And Parvati's like, Peter talked to me and he told me that him and Janelle have the shield. So obviously he's lying.
Yeah.
And then Dan's like, listen, he might be, but I have to take a risk and I got to get rid of Bergy because Bergy's now the one who was put out. That he will for sure put my name out there and we got to take that risk. In this moment, I'm like, why in the world do you not take the risk and get rid of Peter?
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, Bergy, no shade. But I'm like, do you think that without Peter, that Bergy's the one who's going to be pushing the agenda?
Yeah. It was interesting because... He got blinded, in my opinion, at the turret. He got blinded by his fear of getting cut. That it's like...
But it's like, but Peter put his name out too. Peter was the one who was like, he said, I think it's Dan.
Right.
I'm like, if he would have gotten rid of Peter, this whole game would have changed drastically.
Well, his whole thing was this. He said, like, all they had to do was not choose either of them and choose someone random. Because he goes, okay, because Parvati nailed it. Parvati goes, he's trying to trick us.
Sure.
Right? So, and then it's basically between Bergy and Pete, who has the shield.
Well, so quote unquote, who has the shield. Sure.
But I'm saying they said that Pete has it. And I'm going, okay, all you have to do is just pick someone random. And you get a kill. You don't have to play the game. But if you pick Bergy, it's a 50-50 whether it works or not. And then you go home anyways. If you kill someone off who's random, you still kind
of... Kill someone who was in the mansion during the bird call.
Exactly.
Who have
At least you get a kill, which is one less vote for you. So if you can kind of think, okay, who's going to vote against me but isn't one of the heavy hitters, get one of those. And then it's over. Instead, you put it all on the line...
Yeah.
For Bergy, who's just a guaranteed vote against
you. They 100% should have gotten rid of John if they wanted to not be risky. Because
John was always voting with
Pete. In the mansion, and he was always voting with Pete. But you know that he doesn't have the shield for sure because he was up in the mansion. But I'm saying Dan was like, I need to take a risk. I need it to protect myself. And I'm saying if you're like, I need to take a risk, it baffles me that the risk wasn't Peter. I'm like, you know that Peter is the one who's the one... putting things in your ear in the first place. So you know he's game playing right now. So if you're going to take a risk and potentially that person has a shield, I'd rather take the risk for Peter versus getting rid of Bergy.
I couldn't agree more. And
you can manipulate Bergy till the sun comes up.
And they both agreed that Peter was lying to them.
That's what I'm saying.
So he definitely doesn't have the shield.
That's what I'm saying. So for me, I'm like, listen, if he would have gotten rid of Peter... And Bergy would have been left out alone in the morning, cold and alone.
Yes.
Dan could have come in and been like, my Bergalish.
Could have manipulated him.
My Bergalish, I'm so sorry you're alone. I swear to you, it wasn't me. I have someone else in mind. Like, let me. Dan could have become the leaders of the Peter Pals. Dan or Dan's, Parvati or Phaedra even, but Dan and Parvati
Dan's
with
disciples.
Their energy.
Dan could have taken him over.
100%. Yeah. You 100% could have gotten Bergy. I don't think Trishel, he could have gotten.
No.
But Bergie, he could have made his new, yes, you know,
little brother.
His new little brother. Yeah. Exactly. That's what I'm saying. It blows my mind. Blows but my Dan mind. Was obsessed with wanting to get rid of Bergie. And in that moment, they're like, and Phaedra was like, oh, not my Burgalicious.
Yeah.
It's the same thing when she's like, not Ekansu.
Not Ekansu.
Not my Burgalicious.
Yeah.
But this is a moment where, and it's a moment that I took note of, and I've been taking note of it, and I continue to take note of it as these episodes continued. Phaedra in the turret, I think, always has the best instinct.
Mm.
Phaedra is always like, I don't know. I don't know. But she just kind of lets them go for it.
Yeah.
Because it's like, hey, no skin off my back. It's going to look bad for you.
Yeah.
But I think Phaedra has the best instinct because she always kind of goes, because even then later when Parvati's like, hey, let's get Peter, Phaedra goes, I don't trust Peter.
Yeah.
I don't think we should do Peter. And she was right.
Yeah.
They could have gotten someone else.
Yeah.
If they would have gotten John, who they're all like, John is the faithful of the faithfuls. Yeah. 100% John would have said yes to being a traitor.
100%.
No questions asked.
He would have loved to.
Trishel would have said yes to being a traitor.
Yes.
It's like
most, I think everyone would have.
But Phaedra knew. She was like, I don't know. So there's numerous times in this where Dan and Parvati are wanting to take these risks, and Phaedra's like, mm-mm. But she just kind of goes, all right, it's.
Yeah, just, she's real chill about letting it go, which is interesting.
Well, I think it's a tactic, because if she's chill in the traitor's turret, she can kind of slink by in the house and not put a target on her back.
It'll be a Parvati versus Dan kind of vibe.
Exactly.
Yeah. Interesting.
I mean, it's quite good. All right. One more quick pause, family, before we keep diving in. So if I was on this show, my most favorite thing to say, obviously, you know, the first thing that I'd be packing in my suitcase, baby, is my Vegamore products. I cannot live without my Vegamore products. I love them so much. I'm telling you all, for years now, I won't go on a trip. I won't do a day without them because they changed my hair game for me. You all know this. Real change happens when you're consistent, and achieving the hair of your dreams is no exception. Thanks to Vegamore, sticking to my hair routine has never been easier, and you all know that I have been seeing the results for years, and I am so grateful to Vegamore.
Yeah, Vegamore products are 100% cruelty-free and are never formulated with potentially harmful chemicals like parabens or hormones.
I love all of Vegamore's products. Their shampoo and conditioner make it so easy to stick to that hair routine because it's just so simple, and their grow serum, wow, like I said, I use this grow serum daily. The results are amazing. It's a simple application, and also it doesn't make my hair greasy, which is huge. So I feel like I can use it every day, and I do. Their grow serum is so good. Vegamore sells one bottle of grow hair serum every 15 seconds on their website. So that just speaks for itself, you know? And having my monthly subscription of Grow Hair Serum, Vegamore makes it easy to stay consistent. When I sign up for a monthly subscription, I can get one bottle or three bottles sent. Plus, I save more and I never run low on the products I need to take care of my hair. For best results, use for a minimum of 3 months for visibly fuller, healthier, and thicker looking hair. Elevate your hair wellness routine this year with Vegamore. For a limited time, get 20% off your first subscription order by going to vegamore.com/momdad and use code momdad at checkout. That's vegamore.com/momdad, code momdad, to save 20% on your first order. That's vegamore.com/momdad, code momdad. Okay, so next then we have breakfast, and guess who walks in? It is Burgalicious himself. It is like a ghost has appeared.
Yes.
And specifically, Dan is shook to the core.
Shooketh.
That's probably the only time I really saw it on Dan's face where I was like, Dan, put a mask on immediately because we can tell.
Yeah.
We can all tell that you're tripping about it. And
especially when you have Peter just staring at you like, how's he going to react?
That was kind of iconic.
He's just staring
Peter just
at him.
Was leaning forward and just looking at him like a god.
And Bergie was like, this is my moment to shine. Like, he literally walked in with the biggest grin, like, I've done it. He's all red faced,
he
and he's just
in like
yeah!
a catwalk. It was like, yes, strut Burgalicious.
So
strut,
funny.
Strut, strut. And he was like, I did this. It's like, no, Bergie.
No. Just like Janelle thought it was all her. It's like, hey guys, Pete came up with this. You guys are pawns in his game. Don't get it twisted.
But that's when Peter then ends up telling everyone that he leaked that he had a shield. and now he's got his eyes. And he said, I said it to the people that I suspect. And so now the heat is on.
Yes.
And we do see a moment where Peter talks to Phaedra and he asks if she got the info leaked to her at all. And she's like, no, never. I had no idea what's going on. She plays it great. And this is the beginning of when Peter and Parvati and then Peter and Dan start having conversations. This is when Peter becomes the kiss the ring.
He becomes king. Like the mafia boss.
He
and
does
like, tell me why I shouldn't throw you in the river. And the guy's like, well, boss, I've done a lot of jobs for you. You know, and I take your kids to soccer, please, please. And he's like,
Peter says to Parvati, literally, give me something to work with.
Yeah, yeah,
he goes, literally. You gotta give me something to work with.
And he's just like, let me tell you about a time. Like, he literally was the mob boss going. He was giving, it was like he had captured them. And he was like, tell me a reason.
Peter's like, you think you've seen our days? Let me tell you about my windmill experience.
Windmill.
There was a time where the stupid bitch Jessica kept calling it a windmill and everyone lost their shit. You think this is tough? Oh, you've never made love in a windmill. You think this man is small? Your rooms are tight.
Like, what is he talking about? No, but it was funny. He literally like took a meeting with both of them. Basically, he let them know, your life is in my hands. Prove to me why you should still be alive. I mean, I've never seen it. It was crazy.
Literally. I'll tell you what. I never got personally, sorry, Pete, the Pete craze with the women on the show where they're like, oh my God, Pilot Pete's the Bachelor. In that moment, I was like, I get it.
The power
he's like,
move.
He's the king now. Move. And I was well, I get it now. Yeah. Because now when he's just like, this is all on me. Mm-hmm. Like, you have to basically bend a knee to me.
Yes.
Wowzers.
Yes.
Wowzers. Ember was raging while I was watching it with her.
Pissed.
Absolutely raging. There was a moment too where Dan tries to make a move. And that was another mob boss moment of Peter. When Dan's like, okay, here's the deal, Peter. Like, it's not me, but I just want to say, when you do get rid of me, I just don't want you to take it to heart and feel bad that it was me, even though I'm telling you, you know, I just don't want you to take it to heart. Yeah. And Peter literally laughs and he goes, okay, Dan. He's like, I'm pretty confident that I'm good.
See, Dan messed this up here. He's been playing a good game, but like he should have felt pressure early and released the valve a little bit.
Yeah.
Instead, he saved it all for the round table.
I know.
And I'm like, dude, by the time you're at the round table, you look like a wounded animal who's doing everything they can to get out of it. Mm-hmm. And so everyone's going to be listening to you, but like with half listening ears. Where if you would have done the whole even Phaedra thing early on and created problems, at least you'd have a fighting chance.
Yeah. Now, I will say the thing about Peter that does start getting a little wild, and I think this was maybe his only mistake, is that he starts closing the door on people. So literally anytime, you know, like MJ's trying to walk into a conversation and he goes, sorry, sorry, one second, and closes the door and has one of his minions close the door.
He really kind of became the mob boss. Like he really like embodied it. You felt the power. He got a little power hungry.
So I felt like I'm like, well, now you're turning people against you and people are going to think, which exactly they did. They're like, well, it's Peter's pals. And then we're the leftovers.
When it was the Sandra like thing and then Sandra's feeling the heat and then,
So then it's like, well, we're the leftovers. So now we have to figure out how to take care of ourselves.
Yes.
If he would have let a few people eke in,
like
let MJ in, because then because MJ has been very back and forth. She's reporting to Dan, but then voting against Dan. It's like she's kind of all over the place.
Pete should have done one-on-one. He should have walked to each person and been like, yo, let me talk to you real quick. Here's what's going on.
I know. Blah, blah, blah. Not the full
city
council.
But the whole sit down, lock the door. Yeah, like you own the door. I would have walked in and been like, what are you talking about? And we'd have been like, can you please leave? Like, no. Are you crazy? Let you guys have secret meetings? This is crazy.
I literally refuse. And just sat there.
And just sat there.
Yeah.
Be like, everybody in. But the fact that everyone's like, oh, sorry, no problem.
They would have got up and moved, and then you got to get up and move and go into the next room and be like, I'm not leaving.
It would have been better, though, if he would have had Bergie go get people to bring to him so that he never had. Like, that's the real mob boss thing, is you never do the dirty work.
Yeah.
It would have been better if he would have gone, like, Bergie, go get those three people, bring them in. And Bergie's like, oh, the boss wants to see
By the way, Bergie is such a perfect, like, henchman's name.
Bergie. Yeah, it's the least offensive, least terrifying name you could ever have is Bergie.
It's Bergie.
It's Bergie.
But then they end up having the next mission, which is the launching of the catapult, which I would have failed at miserably.
Yeah.
That looked way too heavy for me, where they have to collect the pieces to build a machine. This is when Peter's like, I need a shield desperately because I know I will get murdered during the next round. But he does not get a shield. Sheree gets the shield.
Yeah.
And then when they get back to the mansion, you know, this is again where his meetings continue.
Yeah.
And he's having these conversations alone with Parvati. And she's like, I think you might be the traitor.
Yeah.
And she starts twisting it on him. I think that Parvati, those were as she was stuck in a situation because Peter's like convinced she's a traitor.
Yeah.
But I felt like she was doing the best moves she could in the situation by being like, well, you could be. You've got all these people around you. And I think it's really suspicious that like you've got this clique that you won't let anybody in.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's suspicious. Yeah. But then when he talks to Dan, that's when Dan's like, I'm just asking for an open ear.
Yeah.
I've been watching someone and please, you know, and he tells Trishel too, like, please just be willing and open-minded, to hear me out at the round table. And that is when Dan comes for blood.
Yeah.
Dan gets to the round table. And he has a speech prepared.
Yes.
And he's like, I've been watching someone from day one. I've been quiet this whole time because I've been observing. And he breaks down why. He's like, let's look around. Raise your hand if your name has been written down once. He goes, okay, here's the remainder, people. Not enough to convict someone. Let's look at everyone's voting patterns. Who are the weird voting patterns? And he points out Parvati
both the traitors,
and
Phaedra.
Yeah. And I'm like, oh my God.
Right.
And I do feel like for him, this is his Hail Mary because he knows he's going down. It was super smart
to go after the traitors.
Yes.
But where he messed up was going after Phaedra.
Wild move.
Because he thought in his mind that he was going to come out of left field so hard that everyone was going to be so shocked that they really were going to go, maybe it is Phaedra. He should have gone after Parvati. Parvati was already on the chopping block for multiple people, but not everyone. So he could have swayed people. He could have come up with some like reason why Parvati was sketchy. You know, all this could have even made up a lie about her and be like, she told me this the other day.
100%.
Like just gone all in on 100%. Parvati, because Pete was already in on Parvati. Multiple people were already suspicious. No one was suspicious of Phaedra. And everybody likes Phaedra.
Exactly.
So you would have had to have the most damning evidence of all time, which you didn't, to take out Phaedra. That was your big mistake. You had a great idea going after the traitors as an option.
Yes.
But Parvati was your target and you missed that.
I think if he would have gone after Parvati, he could have gotten her out. I really think that Peter, because Peter's eyeballs are dead set on Parvati, I think if he would have gone after Parvati, I think Peter could have convinced the rest of the round table to vote against Parvati.
And then
Sandra, I bet, would too, because Sandra and Parvati have history and there's beef there. So it's like,
and unfortunately for him, Phaedra's also like a lawyer and she cooked his ass, like absolutely cooked him and just left him dead. Like,
listen,
like she didn't even have to say anything and it sounded bad. But then she came out and started saying all these different things and absolutely was confident and cooked his ass. And then he like to the point where he was going, yeah, good point. Yep. I don't have an answer for that. Yep. Good point. And it's like, oh boy.
The Phaedra barbecuing of Dan session was so iconic.
Yeah.
Like I was on my feet. Ember and I were cheering. I love Phaedra so much.
Yeah.
She is such a good traitor. And her face, the second that he chose her and she was like in her eyes, she just like the squint started. Mm-hmm. And she was like, baby, I'm always extra. You're gonna use that's your big
yeah goal. Like with just that I called him burgalicious and stuff. It's like, dude, this is not.
And then even she had Kate coming in who just showed up
and
she's like, look at her, you're gonna say that she's being extra in her reactions? Do you see the faux fur?
Right.
Do you see the gorgeous makeup? Do you see the fits? Like, she is extra. Like, what are you talking about? And it was the fatal mistake. It really was. And because of that, full landslide vote against Dan.
Landslide.
Now, the one person, including, by the way, Parvati and Phaedra, voted against Dan.
Yeah, of course.
The one person who didn't vote for Dan was Peter, who in mob boss fashion goes, I know I'm going to die tonight, so I'm going to say Parvati to keep that name in your brains.
Yes.
So when I die, you know who it is.
Exactly. It was like a perfect, like, it was perfect.
gorgeous.
Because it was like, yo, I know Dan's gone.
Yeah, he's out.
Let's talk about, let me just throw Parvati in there so that we all remember.
No, he literally said, when I die tonight, I want you to remember this name.
Yeah, it was almost like a William Wallace. It was like you're fighting for something bigger than yourself. You know what I mean? It was like he's like throwing out. He's like, I want Parvati to go down even if I die. It's like, who cares at this point? Like, if you're dead, no one, there's no like honor. It was literally William Wallace.
He
like,
lives, let the fight for go honor. On.
You know what I mean?
He lives for the like, honor.
Erect a statue of me.
He lives for the honor. But the landslide vote is Dan. Dan announces he's a traitor. Everyone is thrilled because they have not gotten a traitor for weeks.
Yeah, yeah.
So many faithfuls have been murdered and banished. And we say goodbye to Dan. And I loved Dan. I really enjoyed Dan, the way he left and his big smile. And it actually kind of made me feel sad because he kept saying that he has been in retirement for 10 years and uh-huh. came back for this. And that kind of made me feel like, yeah. oh, I kind of wish that yeah. he would have like gone farther.
I agree.
You know, I agree. But I enjoyed Dan.
I enjoyed him. RIP.
Yeah.
I would have loved to see him go a little longer. But
me too.
What we have now is like a couple major players and then just plebings. You know what I mean? Like, we'll see if anyone, I'm sure people will come out of the woodwork, but I feel yeah. like we have the Pete's, we have the Phaedra's. But then other than that, we kind of have just a lot of people that are like, please don't cut me, please. You
yes,
know what I mean? Like
100%. Now, Trishelle says in an ITM that she thinks after this whole situation that Phaedra is a traitor.
Yeah.
Because she's like, I think Dan knew that we needed blood.
Yeah.
And so he put someone's name out, which is true.
Mm-hmm.
That is mm-hmm. what he did. But the fact that she's figuring that out, I'm like, Trishelle,
yeah.
stop
it's
it.
It's interesting.
But then they have their traitor's turret meeting, and now it's just Phaedra and Parvati. And I'll tell you what, if I would be one of the remaining traitors, I'd be sweating because the idea of being a lone traitor is terrifying to me. I'm like, I gotta do this shit by myself?
Yes and no. It's interesting. I thought about that and I'm like, I don't really think being alone is too scary. If anything,
I would hate it.
If anything, it means that the target... Like
the target is always on you. When you have another person, you know that there's someone else that the blame can fall on or like that the eyes can go to. But if it's simply you, oh, I'd be drenched.
But the sus can always be like put on you because of the other person. So it's kind of like it's a double-edged sword a little bit.
Yeah, I understand.
You could kind of blend in with one person.
I would just be so lonely.
That's true. Just literally lonely.
I'd be literally lonely wandering the halls of the manor alone.
Yes.
Truly. But this is when, by the way, Phaedra's line, if I wasn't a Christian woman, I'd rip his heart out.
Yeah, I like
so
that.
Oh my God.
That's so funny. If I wasn't a Christian woman, I would rip his heart out. It's like,
I love the drama so much.
So dramatic. It's she's insanely
so good.
Hilarious.
But then a huge twist to us, because mm-hmm. we've never seen Traitor season one. I guess this has happened before. At least that's what it seemed like the players seemed to like recognize yeah. this. But I was like, gasp.
Yeah.
Gasp. They have the option to either murder someone or recruit someone. And the recruit can accept or refuse the request. But if they choose to recruit someone, they can't murder someone tonight. And they choose to recruit Peter. And like I said, that's when Phaedra was like, I don't trust Peter. And I think it would have gone much better for them if they tried to recruit someone else. Because I do think maybe, I don't know, maybe Bergie, but Peter for sure would, I think, be the only person who would refuse. And Peter refuses.
It was crazy to me because Phaedra never puts up a fight. You ever notice that?
That's what I was just saying before.
Yeah, never puts up a fight. And you'd think that there'd be certain times where it's like, fight, because you're going to end up getting screwed for this. And Peter turning it down was a shock because it was like a shock to the system.
Yeah.
But I felt like I saw it coming because there was this level of like, he's got so much power and momentum in his yeah. hands right now that if he switches sides, it'll then be like compromising possibly. And I don't know. I just feel a little bit like he has too much momentum. So if I was in the turret, I would have thought it's a risk. I think he can turn it down, and any risk of being turned down can hurt us.
Yeah.
We need to pick someone on the inside of his circle.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like
yeah,
someone
totally.
Close to him
yeah.
who can then kind of get us off. Because like even if we did get Peter and he said yes, then what? Peter's going to have to all of a sudden just change his whole personality against all of us?
Well, that's like what Phaedra said, where Phaedra was like, I don't trust Peter.
Exactly.
Like, what if Peter fully betrays us? Like, we bring exactly. him in and he says he's a traitor.
And if then, I was...
What if ahead. He tries to get both of us out and be the final traitor?
Well, that was what I was going to say, is if I was Peter and I got recruited and I wanted to accept, I'd have to kill off Parvati.
Yes.
To continue, to so that everyone is convinced... I'm still a faithful.
Well, because
then you could start doing work, but you couldn't the next day show up and be like, you know what, guys, I think Parvati is actually pretty cool.
Well,
I don't think we should
Parvati
worry about that.
Parvati used that the exactly. next morning after he refused Parvati, and Peter goes, oh, well, look, I'm still alive in here. I guess you're not a traitor, Parvati. And then Parvati continued to use that
yes.
in the manner being like, hey, everybody, did you hear how Peter all of a sudden switched that up? Like, that sounds suspicious and like a traitor to me.
Yes.
So you would, yeah, you're right. He would have had
he would have had to gone all the way and kill off Parvati.
Yeah,
and then to basically say, Phaedra, sorry I had to do it, but like, it's the only way we could survive this
and
thing.
Honestly, Peter, Pilot Pete and Phaedra as the dynamic
no
traitor duo would have been yeah. unbelievable.
Yeah, I will say this. I'm a little grossed out by the fact that he's just stayed. Because it's like, okay, Jesus complex. Like, it's fun to be a traitor. Stop with this, like, no, I'll be a traitor forever. And like, I mean, I'll be a faithful forever, and I will never betray my own people. And it was like, okay. Like, get like he and he literally he didn't even say like, oh, I'd love to. It sounds he literally was like, I would never betray my friends, the people that I've gone through the trenches with.
But I will say, to be honest, if I was in that position, if I had like really promised my word to like a group of four or five people, I've been like, I can't. I'm going to really be the bad guy. Also, I think Peter, more than anybody in this damn show, knows how important it is to stay in the good favor of the audience.
Yeah.
And I mean, he had it happen in his Bachelor season where he became the villain because of who he was choosing, going back on him, whatever. It's like, I have to stay a faithful and remain faithful. And so hopefully then everyone will love me when I come out of the show.
Yeah.
He knows how audiences work. They say, whenever you talk to people from different shows, the Bravo people know this too. But the like the Bachelor audiences and the Bravo audiences can be brutal.
Yeah.
So it's like he knows what the fallout will be from the audience.
I've even heard that about like actresses and actors in movies when they play like really bad people, that like they'll experience hate for a while.
That's crazy.
Like if an actor plays like a murderer or someone who like does horrible things in a movie, that like after people will be kind of pissed at them for a while. Because there's like this, people become so attached. So it makes sense if you were like a traitor that ruined something or wrecked someone,
but
then
what
you
I'm
could afterwards
too,
be like, he's a dick.
And then Peter knows because specifically, I think it was, I heard Giannina and Blake on Dear Shandy talking about their relationship. And Giannina was like, I didn't know audience response until I started dating someone in Bachelor Nation.
Yeah.
She goes, I thought that it was intense with Love is Blind audience. She's like, Bachelor Nation is a whole different ball game. It's such an audience that's so involved,
yeah,
but then can also like really come for people.
Yeah.
So I think Peter probably knows that, and he does know
yeah,
that, and he felt that extremely.
Yeah.
So it's like, I gotta play the good guy. I can't all of a sudden become the traitor.
Yeah.
I bet he was like, no, there's no way. It's not worth the fallout afterwards,
yeah,
even though I would have loved to see it.
Yeah, exactly.
But anywho, so Peter says no. So they're literally left with, we can't murder anyone tonight. And
uh-huh,
Peter just said no, we're screwed. So at breakfast, you know, Parvati and Phaedra are like, is Peter gonna say something?
Yeah.
Peter does not. And in fact, immediately the house knows there hasn't been a murder. So someone was recruited.
Mm-hmm.
Who is the person who got the letter last night? And no one says anything.
Mm-hmm.
And he says that he's not going to reveal it because he wants to maybe play on it later, which I think is very smart,
mm-hmm,
very smart. But he says that he's going to tell essentially his pals, the Peter pals.
And he
ends up telling his crew, and he's like, listen, gang, you got to believe me. I was given a letter, but I pledge that I'm going to protect you guys.
Which was interesting because I hadn't thought about the fact that turning it down could bite you. In the way of you then tell other people and then you have to convince them you're still a faithful. And I never thought about the fact that like that could make you look even more suspicious.
But they are literally his disciples, yeah, because like, not for...
We would never believe. We would never believe he would betray us, King Peter.
Because literally there was... They didn't bat an eye. Right. They were like, oh, we know you'd never betray us. Mm-hmm. And they were full-fledged.
They were like...
Like, it would be wild if one of those people in that group was a traitor, because everyone has such confidence in the other in that Peter's pals group.
They said that someone was attempted to be recruited last night. Did they say that they turned him down or no?
No.
Right. So that leaves the
suspicion.
So
you're like, that's why Peter's like, I promise I refused it.
Yeah.
But you don't know.
You don't know.
That's the thing. But then while this is happening, that's when they shout out MJ, and that's when the group, the leftovers, as Sandra referred to them, Sandra has her pool table. And then we see Sandra really at work. Mm-hmm. Now, I haven't watched Survivor, like I said, except for a few earlier seasons. I have not seen Sandra on Survivor, but seeing this pool table moment, gorgeous. Mm-hmm. I was like, I'm assuming this is what we see on Survivor. I love it. People in their element just gets my...
Also, it really made me laugh how, like, she needed balls to, like, explain this very simple thing to everyone. Like, it was like, hey, guys, there's 7 of us. There's 5 of them. If they start, you know, if they kill off one of us, it'll be really close. Instead, it was like, all right, guys, check this out. Here's 5 balls.
I would
Here's
need that to figure 7 it out.
Balls. If the they kill off one... Then it'll be 6-5, very close. Okay. So this is a way you can see. It was really funny. It was just like, it killed me. How there was a whole production. There was a whole production about guys, follow me here.
But when she was doing it, I swear to God, I get like turned on, not sexually, but like energetically, seeing people like do their thing.
Get into it.
It's like Peter doing his thing, watching Sandra, then like with the pool table being like, we're over here. I'm like, oh yeah. I just love that.
It was like total sales.
It was so good. But they basically decide, they're like, we got to get rid of Peter because we're now the group that's going to get, we're going to start getting kicked off this show.
Yes.
We're the quote unquote leftovers. Mm-hmm. So the most faithful of the faithful are going to get rid of us. We got to get rid of Peter. Yeah. So they agree to vote for Peter. And then they end up having their, next mission, which is the deadly traps in the woods,
it was a little intense, like
a little intense.
The falling into the mud was intense, and then like the way the way that the net grabs them and hoists them into the air was like epic. Like it was not simple. It wasn't like the door closes behind you and you're trapped, which is kind of normal. It was like you're 10 feet in the air dangling like Chewbacca. You know what I mean? In the another Star Wars reference, dangling like the crew in the Ewoks. They all get caught up in the net. You know what I mean? It was like the exact same thing. It was hilarious. I was like,
I'm like, if you're claustrophobic or anything at all, that would have been like absolutely terrifying. Yeah. That would have really scared me. Like,
it had special forces vibes, you know
what
I mean?
And you're also like, all those leaves, I'm like, can they breathe? Right. Like, you're so, oh my God.
They cut me down.
That was wild.
Yeah.
It was wild. I did love watching it though. As each person went,
awesome.
It was just like,
it was awesome. And then I love how they almost expected it too, because they'd open the note and be like, failed. Then they like, some other woman would be like, ah, and all of a sudden be like, boom, and take them up. Like they knew something was happening. That was funny.
That was absolutely crazy. But in that, we ended up having the winners John and Parvati were a team. They did well together.
Yeah.
And Parvati was happy because she's like, I'm getting in with John right now. And John's in the Peter Pals crew. Then Kevin and Sandra. But Kevin and Sandra get there first, so they end up getting the shields. And then when we get back to the mansion, CT. I love CT so much.
He's amazing.
You know I love him.
Yeah, he's
it's
so
like
funny.
That, like the East Coast. He's CT. He ends up telling Peter. He's like, listen, you're up for banishment. Yeah. Everybody's saying you're up for banishment. And Peter's like, who's saying that? He's like, this, neither here nor there. I'm not going to get into it. Just know you're up for
Johnny
banishment.
Johnny Two Bags said it.
You're up for banishment. And I'm just telling you that just so you know.
You're going to be sleeping with the fishes.
So Peter is shook, though.
Yeah.
Because he's...
He's like, wait a second.
He's like, I did not see this coming. I thought I was the purest of the pure.
Yes, I thought it was
and
a
CT's
king.
Like, there's a Queen's Council this meeting. And just so you know, there's some people. I'm not going to tell you who's a what's a whiz about it, but you got for banishment.
Yeah.
So then Peter goes and he pulls aside Phaedra and Parvati, which I'm sweating now because now it's like, oh my gosh, they're in this together. Phaedra literally gets up and walks out and is like, I want no part of this. And Phaedra's process was, I don't want him associating me now with Parvati and putting us together as potential traitors.
Yeah.
But I do think it was a not a great move.
Yeah.
I don't think she should have got up and left. It was kind of like, he's having a sit down with you all and he's like, how are we going to make this work? Prove to me. And Phaedra's like, I'm out of here. I don't like this type of alliance business.
See, I liked it.
You liked it?
Yeah, because
I felt like it would have made me suspect.
What it did to me was it changed the power dynamic. She's not letting Pete run the show.
But don't you think that might upset Peter?
No, because I think at the same time, if she's not fighting for her life, she doesn't look desperate. Parvati's sitting there going, here's why. The more that you beg for your life, the more you look guilty. But the more that you're just like, I'm not a part of this. This is crazy. The more you're chill, the more you're like not rattled by this whole experience.
That's true. I suppose that's true. I guess like...
Because if he feels like he has control over you, then he feels like you're guilty of something to hide. So that he can
I'm very nervous because Phaedra's my fave traitor.
Yeah.
And Trishelle in these conversations is now proposing that they get rid of Phaedra.
Yeah.
Because she's like, I know Phaedra is a traitor.
Yeah.
But we all like double know that Parvati's a traitor. Let's get rid of Phaedra now. So that then we have this essentially traitor pawn in our hands that we can just get rid of easily.
Right.
But Peter is like, no, it must be Parvati.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to lie, there's a little bit of chemistry.
There is chemistry.
Between Peter and Parvati, do you feel it?
There's kind of something there.
It feels a little spicy.
There's a couple possible hookups. We got CT and we got Phaedra. Oh. We got some vibes
going. Do not even get me started on CT and Phaedra. That is my fanfic.
Like, I just didn't even see it coming at all.
It is my fanfic. Again, I don't want to...
Like, there was a moment, too, like, when they got chosen for that game, you know, where he's, like, literally, like, they're doing the prom photo. Like, his arms are around her waist, and she's, like, a back as it gets...
Some wild chemistry. And let me say, I don't want to look it up, because I don't want to ruin anything. But I think at the beginning of the season, he said that he's... I don't know if he's married.
I don't know.
Or he's with someone. But I heard there was a child, and I feel like there was maybe someone... Sorry, no shade to if he's in a committed relationship with someone, but I'm praying he's not because CT
would be awesome.
The CT and Phaedra energy, it's spicy.
Yeah.
She's always leaning on him and he's like, sure, I'll accept the torch.
Yeah, they got
Phaedra,
a little castle like, romance going on.
Oh my God. I love it. But Pete and Parvati, when they have their sit downs and she's like, I don't know, Peter, I think you're a traitor. And he's just like, well, I don't know, Parvati. I think you are. And I'm like, make out.
Yeah, let me see a little traitor ass. Yeah.
I don't know. It feels a little spicy to me. Yeah. Maybe I'm reading into it. But and that's kind of where the mansion, the pleading in the mansion ends. And Alan says, hey, guess what? We're doing a ceremony tonight. We're not going to have a round table. There's no banishment. We're having a torch ceremony in the woods where essentially they decide who they want to save from getting murdered. And five players in the end will be left up to murder. And it gets to start with Kevin and Sandra, who have a torch, and they get to choose to light someone's torch. And then that, you know, basically goes from one person to the next and they choose whose torch they want to light. Kevin and Sandra choose to light Sheree's torch. MJ is very hurt by this.
Everyone's really hurt by this whole thing.
Surprising to me because MJ is like, Sandra's my bestie. But I'm like, MJ, love you, MJ. But like, MJ, you and Kevin have had like words with each other at the round table. And Kevin and Sandra have to choose this together.
Right.
So you're not going to be an option for Kevin.
Right, exactly.
So Sheree is a good option to choose. So I don't know why MJ...
I don't know. And then we have, what's her name?
Trishelle,
you know, who's screaming, someone save me! And everyone's like, what the hell,
she's
dude?
She's like, you know I'm going to get murdered. Someone save me.
Why is anyone saving you? Everyone's out for themselves. Quit with this, like, the more you beg, the more everyone's turned off by your existence.
But also, the more you beg, the less likely you seem like a traitor.
Sure. But it was just so annoying. I mean, I hate to say it was so annoying. Everyone's like, yeah, please sacrifice for me. Help. It was like, can you stop with this personal thing? And then like CT doesn't choose her, and then like they have a later, they have a conversation about it, and she's just like, how could you do this to me? Well, and it's like, first of all, do you guys hang out all the time? Do you guys like take your kids to the park together? Like, I'm missing where
color
this...
me confused with the Trishelle CT situation, because at the beginning of this season, we find out that there is tension between CT and Trishelle because they don't get along.
Right.
So apparently they've had now conversations since where they've been like, you know, truce.
Right.
And let's move forward together.
That doesn't mean that you like
I'm gonna
go out on a limb.
If I have a problem with somebody and we don't vibe together, but then we go, hey, you know what? In this game, we're good. Let's move forward. And we've got each other's backs. I am never going to expect the person who I used to have tension with to save me in the torch lighting ceremony. Like, what? And then at one point, CT during the ITMs, when he finds out that Trishelle is mad, he's like, I would never put that on Trishelle in a game to like make a sacrifice for me.
Yes.
And CT's having to talk to Trishelle like Trishelle is his long-term relationship.
Yeah, like they're literally dating. Like, now
from what I'm aware of, like, you guys didn't like each other a week and a half ago.
See, now I will say this. I think CT messed up by not giving it to her. Because...
Really? But he gave it to John, who's still in Peter's pals.
CT's not in Peter's pals, really.
I know, but I'm saying he's giving it to someone in Peter's pals.
But what I'm saying is I think that Trishelle is not as hardcore of a follower as John is. So by giving it to John, it's giving it to Peter. By giving it to Trishelle, there was an option she could have given it to someone else. Because you want to get rid of Peter if you're CT, because CT's been looked at by Peter. So you want to get rid of, you want Peter to have no shield.
I think at this point, though, Peter
so that he can get
been
killed.
Like, CT, you're not on my radar. But I guess
still,
he could go
you
back
just,
to
you
CT.
You
want to
get rid of that guy. Because, so like, he should have given it to someone who was not a Peter's pals. They should have done everything they could to keep it away from Peter's pals so that...
The peep.
Peter was open to get killed.
True.
Now they're going
because,
into the road.
Because CT
they're going
gave it to John, and he's like, I'm going to give it to John because you know what he does for work, John.
Exactly. And now he's can't be killed. And now the non-Peter's pals can get killed. So I don't know. That's my personal
opinion. I hear that. Well, eventually, once they light all the torches, the five that remain up for murder are Kate, Bergie, Trishelle, MJ, and Parvati. Mm-hmm. We see the CT and Trishelle conversation, which did it end? It ended kind of
it
like.
It was just like.
It's okay. It's okay.
Yeah, but it wasn't like hugs. It was like, no. Fine.
Which, you're right, could leave CT up for possible problems.
CT needs all the friends he can get right now.
Yeah.
God, him saving John was just like pointless. It's like sure you got, they're not close. John doesn't have a friendship
I
with him.
I think so long as Phaedra is in the turret.
Yeah.
CT will not die.
Yes.
Because of the
absolute they're hooking up at the
levels.
Top of the castle. So like.
But then we have it wrap with Phaedra and Parvati in the traitor's turret. Because again, there's no round table. They go straight to murder.
Murder.
And Phaedra tells Parvati, she's like, you need to stop acting like an ice princess. Mm-hmm. You need to soften your heart. And Parvati's like, okay, and you can tell the tension is growing.
The tension's rising.
And I would imagine for Phaedra too, there's a double pressure because it's like Parvati, everyone's eyes are on you right now. Peter is gunning for you. And are you going to do what Dan did to
me? And come after me,
And come after me is the final, you know, just pulling me down into the water with you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, now I'll say this, if I was them, we're left where we don't know. Episode 7 ends. So we don't know who they murder. So starting next episode, we'll find out who they choose. To me, it's a no question. No questions. If I was one of the traitors, I would choose Trishelle. I know Phaedra doesn't know that Trishelle is going and telling Peter's pals that Trishelle thinks it's Phaedra. But even if I didn't know that, I'm like, okay, who are our options? And in the Peter's pals crew, who is most powerful besides Peter? We can't choose Peter because Peter got his torch lit, so he can't get killed. Who else is powerful? We have the option to kill Kate, Bergie, Trishelle, MJ, or Parvati.
Yeah, so you got to kill Trishelle.
Trishelle is like, in the Peter's pals, is absolutely the second most game player.
Yeah, like
she might be as much of a game player as
whatever
Peter.
Peter's vote is 2.0.
Yes.
But Trishelle could bring in new ideas. Trishelle could latch onto the Phaedra thing.
Trishelle is also a strong player. Like when you look in, let's look at the past. Whoever Trishelle points out goes home too. She has a strong voice in that round table that I'd be like, number one, I'd be like, she's out because she took out Peppermint. And that is my, wish till the end is how dare you come for Peppermint. But beyond that, I'd be like, Trishelle is the one who's got the power besides Peter, I believe, in this house. She influences a lot of people since day one.
Agreed.
I'd be like, she's got to go.
I agree.
So if they choose someone other than Trishelle, I feel like that was a mistake.
Big time. Big time. I think Trishelle's gone. Yeah, it'll be interesting. I'm feeling like the fact that they didn't get a recruitment. Parvati's one episode away from getting cut.
Yeah.
Like, are we going to end up with Phaedra alone? And if they both get cut, do they just choose new people? Well, How does that work?
But also, think about this. So, it seems like Parvati is going to get cut.
Yes.
Soon.
Yes.
Okay. But Trishelle has told Peter's pals that she's fully locked in on Phaedra.
Right. That's what I'm saying. So,
Are what happens if like they guess both of them?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So I wonder if they choose new people. I wonder if they do a game where they automatically someone gets recruited. They have to probably have safety settings for this, obviously.
I feel like they have to have a traitor at the end. There has to be a traitor at the end.
They can't just be, because it's all faithfuls.
But then also too, Trishelle is like really coming for Phaedra, but you still have the other half of the house who's like dedicated to Phaedra.
Yeah.
Also too, if the other half of the house sticks with their plan of getting rid of Peter, they might start being able to.
That's true.
During roundtable.
But
and
Phaedra,
now,
this is where the acting really need, like Phaedra and Parvati really need to start joining in on the behavior of the faithfuls, where everyone's like, "What do we do? What do we do? What do we?" You need to panic.
They're
too chill.
There was one moment though that I was like, "Oh yikes!" Sandra during the torch lighting ceremony. And Sandra was like, obviously from the leftovers, was like, we need to go for Peter. She said, I was watching Peter the whole time and it seemed like he really needed to get saved. And it made her, she was like, maybe he is a faithful.
Yeah, right.
So I'm like, I don't know. I'm on the edge of my
seat. I'm excited for this next
episode. And
this
evening I will be watching the next one because my daughter is literally like just tapping on my shoulder.
She cannot wait.
next. But family, we love it. Thank you so much for joining us. And tune in on Friday when we go over the next four episodes of The Circle.
Yes.
If you're listening to this on Wednesday, they just got released today. Mm-hmm. So we'll be diving into those as well. So Friday, The Circle. And then next week is the finale episode of The Circle. And we only have one episode next week.
Yes.
So next week, tune in on Friday for The Circle finale. We love you. Nice.
Sorry.
Very, very sexy. That was very much like
The Circle of Life. Whatever, you can do that too.
Sure. There's that too.
Love you all.
Family.
Bye.
Bye.